This morning we're going to talk about life and death, eternal life and eternal death. Every time we gather as a church, and every time we open God's Word together, it is an extremely weighty time. There are unbelievers who are walking down the path that leads to eternal death. And we pray that they will repent of their sins and turn to Jesus Christ in faith and receive the gift of eternal life. All of us here who are believers, we desperately need to be fed each week, week after week, in these gatherings and day to day in our private devotions. We need to be fed. We need to be reminded that eternal life awaits those who are steadfast, those who press on, those who persevere. And we need to be reminded that eternal death is the punishment for those who do not battle against temptation. So when we open God's Word together, we're not playing games here. We're not here to be entertained. We're here to consider these weighty truths. We're here to consider life and death, eternal life and eternal death. And if you are consumed right now in your thoughts, thinking about your job or your financial situation or your belongings, if you think those things are so important, I ask you to put those things out of your mind for this time and consider eternity. Consider your eternal destiny. All of us are going to exist forever, either in heaven or in hell. This book that we have, the Bible, that God has revealed to us, He's revealed to us and explained to us why we deserve hell, all of us. We all deserve hell because of our sin. And this book, the Bible, has also explained how God has made a way for sinners to be reconciled to a holy God. And He did this through His Son, Jesus Christ. This morning we're continuing our study of the book of James. And I invite you to turn there with me. We're going to be in James 1 again this morning. This is on page 1011 in the Pew Bibles. And in this passage that we're going to be looking at in chapter 1, verses 12 through 15, this passage speaks of life and death. The steadfast person of verse 12 will receive the crown of life. And in contrast, if one gives in to temptation and does not battle against sin, then the result will be death. And that's the message of verses 13 through 15. And we're going to look at that next time. This morning we're specifically going to look at verse 12. But let me read for us James 1, verses 12 through 15. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love Him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and He Himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Let's pray. God, Your Word reveals to us the most important truths of the universe. We have here before us life and death, eternal life and eternal death. And God, I pray that by Your grace You would get a hold of our hearts and our minds right now and cause us to focus on what You have to reveal to us in this passage. God, I pray that You'll encourage us and inspire us and motivate us to persevere in the midst of trial. Lord, I pray that You'll do a great work in each of our lives this morning as you teach us and convict us through this amazing verse that You've given to us for our edification. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Bible has different ways of motivating us. There are promises that we find in the Bible, and there are also warnings. And to put it in another way, we could say there's the carrot and there's the stick. There are these different ways that the Bible uses to motivate us. The promises are held out in front of us like the carrot, motivating us toward greater holiness and greater steadfastness. And then the warnings are like a stick that are threatening punishment if we begin moving in the wrong direction in our lives. And in these verses that I just read, we see both the carrot and the stick. We see a promise and a warning. Verse 12 contains this great promise that eternal life, this crown of life, heaven, is the reward for those who remain steadfast under trial. Verse 15 is the stick. Here's the warning that eternal death in hell is the punishment for those who do not battle against sin, those who give in to temptation and give in to sin in their lives and do not battle against those things. These verses are about life and death, eternal life and eternal death. And therefore, I encourage you again, I hope that you will be attentive and seriously consider what God has to say to us from His Word this morning. Earlier this week, as I was planning this sermon, I had intended to preach on verses 12 through 15, which I just read, but as I prepared more, I decided to focus this morning just on verse 12, because I want this verse to give us hope. There's so much hope in this verse for us. I want it to inspire us and motivate us and spur us on to be steadfast in our lives, to be steadfast under trial. We're all facing various trials. We have faced trials, severe trials in your lives. We are facing trials now, and we will certainly continue to face trials in the future. So this applies to all of us. And we want to be steadfast. Don't you want that adjective to characterize your life? Don't you want to be steadfast? I so desperately want that for myself and for all of us, for this congregation. I want us to remain steadfast under trial. I want us to press on in the fight of faith, even when it seems like everything is crumbling around us. When the most severe hardships of life are staring us in the face, I want us to be able to count it all joy, because we know that God is working through these trials. He's refining us through trials and purifying us and using even trials, especially trials, He's using to draw us closer to Himself. And that's what I want for us, and I hope you have that desire too, that you want to be steadfast in your life. Verse 12 is about the steadfast person. And the purpose of this verse, the purpose that James wrote it, and the purpose that God has for us in this verse, is to motivate us and to give us hope in the midst of our trials. To motivate us to be steadfast under trial. I want to make four observations from this verse. Four observations concerning the steadfast person that James is speaking of here in verse 12. First of all, the steadfast person is blessed. The steadfast person is blessed. This is the first thing James says in verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. This verse is closely related to the theme of the previous verses in James 1, especially back in verses 2 through 4, which we looked at a few weeks ago. Verses 2 through 4, count it all joy, this command that James begins his letter with. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. There's that word again. The testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And then here's another command. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That's verses 2 through 4. And now in verse 12, James calls this person blessed. The one who is steadfast, the one who is steadfast under trial, is blessed. One who counts it all joy in the midst of trial. This person is truly blessed. This is a very significant word in the New Testament. It's the Greek word makarios, and it's the same word that Jesus uses in the Sermon on the Mount repeatedly. In the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, and so on through those Beatitudes. It refers to deep spiritual contentment and joy in the Lord, and also receiving God's favor. The blessed person is receiving God's favor and is joyful and content in this very deep way. James uses this word to describe the person who remains steadfast in the midst of trials. And what James is saying here in verses 2 through 4 and in verse 12 is very similar to what Jesus says later in those Beatitudes in Matthew 5, 11 and 12. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Very similar to that, James is telling us that the steadfast person is blessed. No matter what the trial is, if it's the kind of trials that Jesus was speaking of there in the Beatitudes of persecution, or if the trial is sickness or some kind of financial hardship, or if the trial is some kind of temptation in your life. The one who perseveres under trial is blessed. God smiles over that person. God's favor is upon that person. That person will enjoy deep spiritual contentment and peace, even though the walls are crashing down around him. Isn't that an amazing thing? Don't you want that to be true of you? Everything's crumbling around you. Everything seems to be going wrong in your life, and yet there's this peace inside of you that you have in the Lord. That is an amazing thing. That's what I want for my heart and for yours too. Because in the midst of a storm, God may not calm that storm around you. You may be in the middle of a huge storm in your life, and God may let that storm rage on and on and on. But He can calm you in the midst of that storm. That's an even more amazing miracle that He can do. Well, the fact is that we cannot know ahead of time what blessings a particular trial in our life may bring to us. On the front end of a trial, we see the difficulty of the situation. And we may despair, we may become discouraged or angry or bitter. We may wallow in self-pity, feeling sorry for ourselves. But in order to remain steadfast, we have to look with the eyes of faith beyond the trial. We have to look to the other side of the trial. We have to cling to promises like the promise of this verse. We must believe that we will be greatly blessed as a result of these trials that God is allowing in our lives. We won't necessarily see it on the front end. We won't see it immediately as we're entering into the trial, but later we will see so clearly how God is working and was working in these things. It may be a short time later, or many years later, or not until we arrive in heaven. It may not be until then that we can truly see what God was doing. But sooner or later, every Christian will know the truth of this verse, not just by faith, but by experience. What a blessing it is to be the person who remains steadfast under trial, to be the person who clings to Jesus in the most difficult times of life, to be this person who has a deep calm in the middle of the storm. Let us all strive to be this person, the person who is steadfast under trial. Well, the second observation from this verse about the steadfast person is that the steadfast person will be approved. The steadfast person will be approved. The verse begins with the statement, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life." In this part of the verse, James is stating a particular way in which the blessing is manifest, namely this crown of life. But first he says, "For when he has stood the test," when he has stood the test, or in the New American Standard Bible, "once he has been approved," and that's where I'm getting this word approved, the steadfast person will be approved. The word there is dokimos, and it's very similar to the word that James used back in verse 3 where he spoke of the testing of your faith. The testing of your faith, meaning the refinement and the purification of your faith. Peter, also in 1 Peter 1:7, he speaks of the tested genuineness of your faith. And the idea here is that our faith will be tried and tested through trials, and as we remain steadfast, we will be approved. Our steadfastness will be evidence that we are truly believers. That's the point. It's an evidence that we are truly clinging to Christ and trusting in Him. Remaining steadfast under trial is like the stamp of approval on our lives. We've been tried and tested and shown to be genuine. Shown to be genuine. This is such a significant evidence of grace in our lives. To remain steadfast through a trial, that is tremendous evidence to show that, yes, this person is truly trusting in Christ and in nothing else. Because only that kind of trust in Christ could give a person calm in the midst of a storm. There are many people who say they are believers. There are many who give intellectual assent to the truths of Christianity. Yeah, I agree with that and that and that and that. There are many who attend church regularly. But put those individuals through a fiery trial in life, and it will become very clear who is a genuine believer and who is a fake. That's what this word and this phrase is communicating. The steadfast person will be approved by God when he has been tested by the fires of life, by the trials of life, and shown to be genuine. It's possible that someone would look at this verse and think that we somehow earn the crown of life by remaining steadfast under trial. Someone might see the progression of this verse. When he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. Or the New American Standard, once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life. And someone might think that this approval is something we earn by remaining steadfast, and then we get the reward of the crown of life. But that's not what the Bible teaches, and that's not what this verse is teaching. The point, as I've already said, the point is that our steadfastness is evidence that we truly love God and trust Him and belong to Him. The point is not at all that our steadfastness earns salvation. It's that our steadfastness is evidence that we are truly trusting in Christ. And it's only by faith in Christ that we're saved and we can receive this gift of eternal life. Only Jesus deserves the crown of life. Only Jesus deserves this reward. And the only reason we can receive this is because we belong to Christ by faith. Therefore, we don't earn the crown of life. Instead, our steadfastness under trial is evidence that we do belong to Christ by faith. The trials in our lives will refine us and will purify us by making us cling to Christ more and more. And when Christ returns, or when He calls us home, the life of perseverance in the midst of trials will be a testimony to God's saving grace in our lives. It will show the genuineness of our faith. So don't think that you're earning anything from God by enduring hardships. We can't earn anything from God. But if you are a true believer, if you're fighting the fight of faith, then the trials that God allows into your life will sanctify you. And your faith in Him and your love for Him will grow. You'll have to cling to Him because there's nothing else to cling to as God pulls these other things out of your life and causes you to struggle with different things. And as we see that happen, as we see ourselves clinging more and more to Christ, we will have the sure hope of receiving this gift, the crown of life. This leads to the third observation, that the steadfast person will receive the crown of life. The steadfast person will receive the crown of life. When a person has remained steadfast under trial and has shown the genuineness of his faith, he will receive this great reward from God. James calls it the crown of life. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. The same description is used in Revelation 2:10, which says, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." There are similar references to crowns in the New Testament. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:25, he uses this imagery of athletics. He says, "Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath or crown." It's the word stephanos. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we, an imperishable. The crown that the New Testament writers refer to is the laurel wreath that was given to athletes when they won an event. And Paul makes this comparison between the perishable crown of athletics and the imperishable crown that is given to Christians who persevere. It's given to the steadfast Christian. Paul also says in 2 Timothy 4:8, "Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing." Peter also uses the image of the crown in 1 Peter 5:4, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." These are various ways of trying to capture the grandeur of what awaits us in heaven. This is the reward. It's a crown. It's a symbol of victory. It's a symbol of finishing the race. And James calls it the crown of life. It's life. It's eternal life. Rather than suffering the eternal death, which is the result of sin, which James talks about in verse 15, verse 12 is saying that the steadfast person, the person who remains steadfast under trial, will receive eternal life in heaven. This is what the crown of life refers to. The steadfast person will receive eternal life in heaven with God. This should be a tremendous motivation to all of us in our daily walk of faith. We need to constantly remind ourselves of eternity and the great reward that awaits those who remain steadfast. We need to think of eternity. Eternity puts everything in perspective. Last week, we were looking at verses 9 through 11, and we saw that eternity is the great equalizer. Eternity puts our finances in the proper perspective. That's what verses 9 through 11 are talking about. Whether rich or poor, what matters is eternity. And it's the same with trials. In the midst of a trial, look beyond the trial. Look to the one who allowed this trial to come into your life and has a good purpose for it in your life. And look to the one who is refining you and producing steadfastness in you, and the one who will one day give you the crown of life. This is the hope that we have in the midst of trials. Think for a moment about the power of hope in our lives. Think about the impact that hope has on the present, on the, our present lives right now. Our hope for the future has such an impact on how we feel and how we perceive things in the present. This is true in big and small ways. It's also true both positively and negatively. If there's something we're really looking forward to, whether it's something this afternoon we're looking forward to, or something next week, or something a few years from now that we're really looking forward to and excited about, it gives us happiness right now in the present. And even if other things may be going wrong, the hope of that future enjoyment helps you get through those difficulties, doesn't it? On the other hand, if there's something in the future that you are just dreading, it also has an effect on how you feel in the present. It makes it hard to enjoy anything in the present because your mind is on this thing that you're not looking forward to in the future. How we perceive the future is so significant in the present. Now, the glorious promise of this verse is that the steadfast person will receive the crown of life, which is eternal life in heaven. And that is the hope that we need. That is the future enjoyment that we need to be looking to that will get us through any and every trial in the present. You see how the hope in the future affects the present. When you're tempted to despair, when you're tempted to give up, when you're tempted to become bitter and angry because of this trial that you're confronting, remember, the steadfast person will receive the crown of life. One day we will enjoy the infinite pleasure of being in God's presence. And we will look back on the trials of this life, the light and momentary afflictions that we face in this life, and we'll smile. Tears of joy will fill our eyes as we think of God's goodness to us in allowing those trials. I encourage you, brothers and sisters, embrace this hope that we have. Focus your mind on this hope. Meditate on this hope when you are in the midst of a trial. Let me respond to an objection that someone might raise here. Someone might take issue with the idea of a reward that motivates obedience and perseverance, which is what this verse is all about. This verse is giving us motivation to remain steadfast under trial, and the motivation is you're going to receive the crown of life once you've stood the test. And someone might object to this, saying, well, we should persevere because it's right and good to persevere, not because of some carrot, not because of that reward down the road. The reward, some might say, the reward paints the virtue of the perseverance. We should just do our duty. We should just do what's right and persevere, whether there's a reward or not. Now, that's an important objection, and it is helpful, I think, in clarifying what we're talking about here, what the reward actually is. Because if you have in your mind a man-centered idea of heaven, if you think heaven is going to be filled with earthly pleasures, then this objection carries some real weight, because indeed it would diminish the virtue of our obedience and perseverance if our hope was merely in the enjoyment of comfort and food and leisure and material possessions and worldly pleasures. If that was our view of heaven, then yeah, it would be wrong to pursue that as the reward. That's how some people do envision heaven. It's just earthly delight to the max. I remember years ago in a Bible study, a man said, the two things I hope will exist in heaven are golf and sex. And that statement reveals a lot about his heart. It reveals where his treasure is. What he hopes for in eternity is nothing more than the fleeting pleasures of this life. And that kind of attitude dishonors God, because it shows that our delight is in his gifts rather than in him. You see? The crown of life is not just an amplified version of earthly pleasures. If it was, it would not be worth pursuing. The crown of life, eternal life, is about enjoying God for who he is. Jesus states this in his high priestly prayer in John 17. He says, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And later in the chapter, he prays, "Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world." Do you see this? This is the reward, not stuff, not worldly pleasures. The reward is God himself. It's him being in fellowship with him. The reward is seeing the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The reward is fellowship with him, unhindered by sin. And when we passionately pursue this crown of life, the delight of being in the presence of God, this greatly honors God, because it shows that he is our treasure, nothing else. He is our treasure, and it shows that we're willing to endure any trial if it will mean that we can be with him and be closer to him. Well, the final observation is that the steadfast person loves God. The steadfast person loves God. The verse concludes with this statement about the crown of life. "For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." To those who love him. I think it's so beautiful how James points to the heart here, both here and in chapter 2, verse 5. He says almost the same thing. "Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him?" The reward is for those who love God. This is a matter of the heart. It's something that has to do with our desires. It has to do with what we delight in. It's not a question of how much we know about God. It's not a question of how much we've done for God. The question is, do we love God? Do we love him from the depth of our hearts? It's not superficial. This goes to the very core of our being, of who we are. Those who will receive eternal life are those who have been radically changed from the inside out, who have been given a new heart that delights in God and loves him for who he is. This reward is for those who love God. Don't pass over that statement. It's easy to pass that over so quickly, but this is something God has promised to those who love him. If you don't love God, if you don't feel in your heart this delight in God for who he is, not just his gifts, but him for who he is. If you don't have that in your heart, if you don't experience that love for God, cry out to him to give it to you. Only he can give it to you. There's not a switch in our heart that we can just turn on and off. God has to do this to us. He has to regenerate us. He has to give us a new heart. Take out the heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh that loves him and delights in him. So cry out to him to do that for you and in you. You need to repent of all the ways that you've tried to make yourself happy. And you need to look to God, who is the only source of true happiness, the only source of lasting happiness. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. so that He can forgive our sins. And those who come to Him in faith will be forgiven. Those who love Him will receive the crown of life. I plead with you, friends, look to Him, look to Jesus, and love Him. He is so loving and so worthy of our love. Well, in conclusion, I just exhort us again to consider these matters very seriously, because it is truly a matter of life and death, eternal life and eternal death. Those who remain steadfast under trial will receive the crown of life, will receive eternal life. But those who succumb to temptation and do not battle against sin will reap eternal death. Let verse 12 be a great inspiration to you in the midst of trials. Set your gaze on the finish line. Place your hope in God and in God alone, and delight in the future enjoyment of spending eternity with Him. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love Him. Amen. Let's pray.